So I've been spending a lot of time, even before I came here to Paso Robles, just before the Lord, knowing there's a move of the Spirit happening. And there are signs that are breaking out in different places. Probably you've heard about the college students. You know, I think that's genuine. Some people may be bothered by it, but I'm not bothered by it. I think the Lord's moving. And it's in different places. And so those are some of the early signs. There are also nations that are being affected by the move of the Lord in our day. One of the interesting ones is Iran. Yeah, Iran. There's a move of God in Iran. And it's very powerful, very transformative, shaking a culture of people that grew up in Islam and looking for freedom. The majority of the people are women, which is interesting. If you don't like women preachers, then don't go to the move of God in Iran. No, it's an underground movement because it's very life-threatening. And, just think about that. The hostility of growing up in Islam and the warnings of conversion into Christianity and the denial of Muhammad and all that and the cost of that. A number of years ago, I went with Hamilton, which you probably all know. He's blind. And so he needed a comrade to go with him because his wife couldn't go. And so we're walking down the airport arm in arm because he can't see in Turkey, in Istanbul. And we're virtually the only white people. And we look like two, you know what. And so I'm getting introduced to all this experience of, you know, kind of, some of it is quite humorous, you know. And you're facing all the prejudices and things, and my own prejudice, because you're taught to fear things. And some of that would be very reasonable. You would fear. And so I was going to be 40 miles from ISIS during the height of ISIS. That's exactly right. And I was praying to the Lord because you want to really make sure you're in the will of God if you do something like that. And we both got the green light. I was supposed to go. And the introduction to me in northern Iraq was a pastor who was in Saddam Hussein's tank army, survived, became a born-again Christian pastor, bilingual. So here's a person, we would have had a lot of say against. He's a brother in Christ. He has great favor in the city, Duhok, which was 40 miles from where the base of ISIS was. We're going to the meeting. A phone call comes in, and it's a couple who are not Christians, but the baby that they have, the child, year old or whatever, is in the hospital. They want us to come and pray. And this is my introduction. So we end up at the hospital, a diversion, and they have the baby in their arms, and we arrive, and it's dead. Okay, so a dead child. This is the first event. And I'm having to face all my prejudices of American way of viewing life. And there's this dead baby and a non-Christian couple and the clothing that is worn, you know. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to openly pray for a dead child in a main city sidewalk. And everybody's going to watch and view this. And of course, you think this. The only reason this is happening, truthfully, is God wants a very powerful sign and wonder and display, just like in Bible days. And that's what our expectation was, right? There was not a doubting thing happening. It's just, hey, this is the way it's set up. So we went to go pray, but it was so overwhelming to me for some reason, I'm going to just call it the work of the Holy Spirit, that all I could do was cry. I started crying and crying and crying. I don't cry very easy, you know? And I'm just crying and crying. What's happening to me? Because behind all that religion and clothing and prejudice and all that sort of thing were mothers and fathers as they walked by, and they were broken at the scene. And they knew we were not Islamic. They knew that the likelihood of us being Christian was very high. And they were in the sorrows with us, relating to the human loss and the human experience. And it totally changed me. I just saw how much pressure there is of opinion in life and how different it is in the Lord. I got to see through that with the help of God. You know, the child didn't raise. We tried, you know. And if you're going to cry over somebody, what's doing the crying? And we walked in a bubble. And here's the funny thing. You're told not to try to convert a Muslim person. We were going door to door, and we were going to refugees, and we were going everywhere, and everywhere we went, what did? We shared the gospel. They'd invite us into their homes. And the Middle East is tremendous hospitality. And what would they do? They would serve us food. They would honor us. They would treat us nice. They were Muslims doing that to us. You know, I can go door to door in America and have a lot of doors slammed in my face and hear a lot of nice, pretty words spoken to me. Right? And that's not unusual. Here I am in a nation that people say, you know, this is illegal, this is not permitted and all that. So in the last night we were there, my friend Hamilton had brought a blow-up swimming pool to do baptisms. That's where he was at with his faith, you know. But it is extremely dangerous to do some things openly. And so water baptism is extremely dangerous. And so we were like midnight hour in this courtyard thing, lights out, dark, cell phones on. It was an amazing experience. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget what happened to those people when they got baptized one at a time and come out of the water. If you could ever think a person can glow, it was amazing. They were so illuminated by the Lord. They were so joyous. It was mind-boggling. It was just like, I can't even. It was so different than what people say, right? And the walls were breaking because the Lord is moving. And when the Lord moves, you know, who could stop, you know? And there was really sad stories because at that time in Syria, the Shiite-Sunni hatred thing was manifesting, and they had driven over 1 million people out of one of the cities, and there was a lot of raping, murder, you know, Muslim on Muslim stuff. And so we met a lot of Syrian refugees and heard a lot of stories of born-again women and stuff that had been horribly raped and things. But they were born again. It's a tremendous work of the Spirit of God. And it's very impacting to see all kinds of walls fall when the Lord is working. You know, and the impossibility of something that gives way to the will of God and the purpose of God. And just the presence of God that we were walking in, the bubble-like feeling, you know, of security in such a potentially threatening, you know, situation. It's very, very powerful, very memorable. And, you know, it challenges your life and how you live for the Lord and what you're willing to do. You know, what you're willing to allow God to speak to you about. Because I wasn't thinking about going to, you know, Iraq and that. But the Lord had that in mind, and it was a beautiful, incredible experience. But not everything turns out that way as you read the New Testament, you know. Paul was told to go to a lot of places, and he did, and it was incredible. But a couple times, I know one time he was probably left for dead. I mean, they stoned him and dragged him through a city. Well, I think when you're dragging a person through the city after you stone them, you don't think he's very much alive, you know. So, yeah, incredible. So, wanting God in our lives. That's probably why we're all here. We're here because we want something from the Lord. We want to experience the Lord. And the way that began is you have a personal experience with the Lord. He got through, and you were born again. And once again, I think the Lord wanted to prove a lot to me in my life. So I got born again in a room by myself. And you know, people may not understand this, but you talk to the Muslims that are coming to faith in Christ there, they'll tell you that they're having dreams, visions, and encounters before they come into saving faith. So the Holy Spirit is pouring out. Well, that similar thing was happening to me. Before I came to faith in the Lord was contesting with me. And he was using probably the baby language that I was able to accept, the communication. And truthfully, it was about living for Jesus and how not to live for the world. And it was a challenge that was being set before me. And it probably went on for quite a while. I would say several months of encounters like that. And the Lord had made me very still in life. I had been an athlete. I got injured. And so I was incapable of pursuing that course of life. And I was facing tremendous emptiness in my life. And the Lord met me there. And so I got born again through a prayer. I didn't know it was a prayer. I just said one day after these encounters were going on, I said, God, if you're real, show me. And all of a sudden, boom, it was done. He flooded my heart. And it was like blinders fell off my eyes. And I thought, what have I been doing with my life, my whole life? And I was a fifth-year senior in college. Played two sports at different times in college. And I was ready to get my degree, and I walked out of school. Yeah, I saw no purpose. That's how much it changed me. I thought, I've been looking for this my whole life, and I didn't know that's what it was. So guess what happened? I had a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what happened. You know, the entrance of his word. Christ revealed himself to me through what? The power of the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost has been happening for quite a while. It was back in the 80s. So I know it was back then. And that's the most precious thing when you really think about it, is when God reveals himself. Those are the most defining moments of your life. If you really think about it, the ones that are most memorable, the ones that you remember the most, they're kind of the mountaintop experiences of your life. Revelatory, where God reveals. You know, we're supposed to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints of the light. Because we apparently don't get to see that in the natural course of things, right? We need the Holy Spirit and revelation to, you know, show us the Lord, to have the knowledge of Him, to have the understanding of the Lord. And that's really our journey, isn't it? You have a revelation of Jesus Christ, and you're set upon a journey with the Lord. And each person's journey is obviously pretty unique because, you know, we have different types of calls and gifting. But that hunger remains the same. It's a hunger for the Lord. I need to know Him. And some of the most noble of Christians that you can ever read about, I'm going to choose Paul right now, said, I'll give up everything that even mattered to me, that the world values, that I would even value, even kind of my egocentric attainments of knowledge and accolades and worldly glory. I'll give all that up. What for? So I can know the Lord. That's what I want. I want to know the Lord. Now, a guy getting pretty busted a lot serving the Lord had that kind of passion and longing. So there is something about that, isn't it? There's something about that in your life that's going on all the time. You want a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, your personal revival started when you had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And now we're looking more in a corporate way because, you know, it's gotten pretty dim and dark in a lot of things. We know that the Lord has to bring an illumination. Light has to break in. An awakening. Also in the church, so that includes us. We need to have a revelation. You know, in terms of what's happening now. And so the Holy Spirit had made that promise that He would be the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we read in Pentecost, I guess I'll read the scripture just to, you know, show you that we've been touching on this. Acts 2:17. And it's also written in Joel in the Old Testament. It says, it shall be in the last days, God says, I'll pour forth out of my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I'll pour in those days of my spirit, forth of my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show great wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Then it goes on to talk about the judgment ones. So, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ, and immediately we have a capacity. We have a capacity with the Holy Spirit. A revelatory capacity is given to us. And it becomes very dry and very man-centered and very empty in our experience when we're not seeing the revelation of the Lord. Now, nowadays, a lot of my experience has been in the Scripture. All I have to do is wait on the Lord, open up the passage, and the God-breathed Word is illuminating. And it's really setting in me a Christ centrality. And that's what I want. I want that life of Christ growing and developing and maturing my life and walk in the Lord. And that's probably yours too. So the Word of God is very important, for the Word and the Spirit are in agreement. There's a lot of revelation there. As you know, you can read the Bible in layers. It happens a lot. You read something, you get, oh, yes, I've seen this before and this, and all of a sudden it goes whoosh, and you're deeper. It's like, wow, I see something now of a depth of that. It didn't change the meaning. It just deepened the understanding. That's revelation knowledge. Okay? So when God's not revealing and speaking, there's a real problem. That's really bothersome. I bet it's really bothersome to you. And you come into a crisis moment if it's like that. Because that's a personal relationship. You're having a personal relationship with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. The revelatory ability of the Holy Spirit is prophesied. You have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. You're walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is showing you. He's teaching you. He's talking. He's guiding. He's bringing to our remembrance. Okay, all that's happening, and it can be sometimes big, huge moment, and a lot of times it's just the, you know, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But He's doing it. Okay? But if He's not talking, something's going on, right? Something's wrong relationally, and I'll tell you, it's not Him. It's not Him. Somewhere I have stopped listening to the Lord. Maybe I don't want to listen because what He's saying, I don't really want to hear it. It's a funny thing when Jesus is correcting the church in the book of Revelation. You know, the seven churches of Asia Minor, Western Turkey. And He goes through what's good. Then He does His correction and reproof and call to repentance. And then He says, well, there will be some that won't do this, so there are some that will overcome. And then He says, okay, here's your reward for overcoming. Everyone is then told what their reward will be. Then at the end, for all the churches, He says, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you were unwilling to listen to the Lord. I've been there. And nowadays, it's getting more critical. You know, maybe when you're younger and you just want to do your own thing and, you know, your parents know you're a bit immature and wanting you to grow up a little bit, and so they have a little more patience with you, so to speak. But when you get a little older and if you try to act that way, people are not putting up with it because it's not right. Right? So I see the Lord asking more of the church. I see that. And our 10-year-old decade-back style of Christianity is not working. It's not working. The world has changed so much. That's not meeting it, you know. And probably we're not listening very well. Because the Holy Spirit is mastery, supremacy, triumphant. He's God. And that's not a problem. It's His willingness to work with the church and do things in conjunction with agreement through the church. And so there's something going on with us. We have to admit it. There's something going on. And it's a bit disturbing. And I hope you feel disturbed at times, because I want to know that all the pain I've been going through isn't alone. I don't like to suffer in aloneness. I want to commiserate with people in their pain. Right? And, you know, it has a lot to do with, okay, I'll do this far. And then I'm willing to listen. But then not past that. And that's true. You have to admit that. That's true. That's happening. That's true. And I'll tell you one area that is grossly neglected in America. I'm just going to say it because I'm at fault. Loving your brother. It's true. How often do we think of the brethren in Christ and willing to lay our lives down? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay his life down for his friends. By this, all men shall know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. So there's a problem. We're so independent. And if we don't like what's going on in the church, and we don't like the certain people or whatever, then, you know, we're just going to bail. We're going to attack the pastor and do all kinds of nasty speaking and the things that we do. And then we'll go to the entertainment centers where we can just have the God feeling and then just leave. I'm sorry. I can get kind of mean there. Yeah. So we're missing the revelation. We're kind of just doing it without the Lord. Because whenever I did it with the Lord, it was amazing. It was amazing. Because you really couldn't do what the Lord was asking you, but you would be willing, and then you did it, and you would think, wow, God did that. That's what you would think. God did that. He saved me. He did this through my life. I didn't think I could do it. You know, and he asked me to do it, and kind of started agreeing, and things started developing. And it happens. So that's an issue. We're looking at something, okay? And we're in it together. We're in it together. We're the Spirit-filled church. We know how to prophesy. We know how to pray for the sick. We know how to cast out devils. But do we know how to listen to the Lord? So there's a real premium. I think there's a real searching out for what God's saying and knowing that the times demand it. It's dark enough now in the world, and we're moving towards some pretty prophetic days that we've been told about in the scriptures and the difficulty of them. And we all have our opinions about whether we escape, we stay, you know, whatever. But in the meantime, we can see that it's really going. And we really need light. We really need illumination. We really need the voice of God. We need revelatory understanding. We need to know the purpose of God. We need this, just like we did in the very beginning when Jesus revealed himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. We really do need it. And we should be bothered by it. So here's a thing to consider, okay? What we used to say about our flesh is God loves me, and despite my fleshliness of attitudes or personal sin, areas that I just want to walk in the flesh with, I know God loves me, and he won't forsake me. I'm saved, you know. I'm a born-again Christian, a new creation in Christ, and I'm justified through the blood of Jesus. So, okay, that's true, but it's also not true. It's true in everything I said, but that's not how the Lord treats it. So, even some of the most interesting areas of my personality, the ways I'm thinking, the ways I'm treating other people, are now coming into examination because they are hindering the revelation of Jesus Christ in my life. They're stopping that advancement of the Lord, that transforming glory. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one that's saying, hey, I'll just be in the flesh as much as I want, when I want, and then God, you'll talk to me. You know? Yeah, when other people, you know, in the Reformation said, I'll you know, write the scriptures, and then I'll die doing it, or I'll go to this city, and then I'll get beat up and stoned, and I'll die doing it, and I'll be put on a cross, and, you know, made a human candlestick and all this, and I'm saying that. Right? See, when we quote that scripture, you shall receive power to be my witness, we forget the word in the Greek is martos. Martos, what kind of witness? Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, the Holy Spirit can really get at it now. He is getting at it. He's getting at you. Okay. Anger. Here, anger. My dad was, well, he was a coach. He was a teacher. He had anger. Don't meet very many coaches that are kind of nice people, you know. They're trainers and, you know. And I can remember I would just play a phenomenal game. I enjoyed it, you know, and a lot of the people that watch me enjoyed it or whatever. Mm-mm, not my dad. Because he knew if I stopped the journey or whatever. So he was critical, and it was very hurtful. And he kept pushing me because he was trying to live his life through me. Right? Well, what does that do to me? Makes me mad. Makes me mad at my dad. What does that do? It starts locking me up. Okay? It's locking me up. Okay, and so I use anger in sports. Man, when you get angry about something, you have a smoldering burn in competition. There's some power there. Just ask Mike Tyson if that works. Right? And that's not good in the Lord. But you get saved and you think all this other thing, but you don't realize that the Lord is going to have to get at that part of your personality and get at those strongholds in your life and teach you how to love and how to be loved and, you know, things that are going to be a little challenging. Because maybe you just want to be angry so you can be in control and, you know, those kinds of things. And here's a sad thing about that. A lot of hurt and angry people in the church are putting that on God. It's natural. It's a natural thing to do, to take your life's experience and put it on God. So in principle, this is my life. I'm just telling you the truth as best I can. In principle, I knew God loved me, in principle. But if you have anger toward your father and you're angry at God without knowing that much, you can't really open yourself up in trusting the Lord. But guess what? I could prophesy over 300 people in a meeting, and I did it for years. I'd stand them up at meetings back in the 80s and 90s, 4 or 5 hours, just boom, 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 boom. So a prophetic gift worked, and that's what I was known for. And that was in demand. But was the transformation of me happening? See what I'm saying? So there's gifting, there's calling, but there is character, there is integrity, there is the development of the Lord. And there came a day when the Lord asked me to lay it down. And it was my livelihood. It was the platform. It was the demand. It was all that. And I knew it was time. The Lord had been preparing me and showing me. And I put it down. And I walked away. And when you don't have that to influence people by the way, I have it. I have it a lot, but I like something else. I like when people experience Jesus Christ. And if that needs prophecy, then great. But the Holy Spirit can do it anyway. But those gifts are for a purpose too. So that's when Christ centrality started happening in me. And I could no longer, in a sense, relate to the ministry. It almost got a crisis level because I really didn't want to do it anymore. You know why? Because when you see the game for so long And you're getting burned out on it. By the way, I did get burned out. Right? And you're really just hungry for the original thing you had, which is, man, Jesus came into my life, and it was everything. I could walk away from school. I knew it was everything my life was about. And now I'm in the church, and the things that go on in church, and the man-centeredness, and the manipulation, and the things, and you know, the man-made glory and all the things that are going on. And it's not really giving you Jesus. Yeah. So, you understand what we're facing, because I'm an example of that. I'm an example of that change. Do you want Jesus or not? Or do you want that other stuff? And so, you know, I was heavily involved in the prophetic movement, and, you know, apostles were spoke about back in the early 80s, and we talked about signs and wonders before the big hurrah came in and what goes on today. And people would talk about signs and wonders back then and angels and things like that, but there was more of a Christ centrality. It was more about Jesus. It's not about Jesus today. I'm just going to say it that way. It's about gifting. It's about personality. It's about charisma. It's about money. It's about the largeness of a thing. Okay? And to be quite frank, the Lord's not speaking. Why should he? What is he saying? He's calling the church to repentance. That's what he's saying. He called me to repentance. He's still doing it. Sorry. He's still doing it. And I've said this before, why do we wait so long? Why do we hold on to that stuff so long? Because it's not fulfilling us. It's not completing us. It's not. So when you think of revival, you know what you think of? You think of Jesus again at the center of everything, leading the church. And it's so obvious that he is. That's what you think. But if it isn't happening at home in your personal life, really, think about it. So it can start right now. Here's another obstacle that I see. I'm drawing from my own experiences. Some of the people that are closest to your life are the hardest to love and the easiest to get offended at. Let's just admit it, right? And you think, well, this person needs to do this and change and that and that and whatever, and guess what? The Lord says, no, you. Yeah. You. 100% of the time. You. 100% of the time. Well, I'm angry. This and that. You. Interesting that I didn't have a right to be angry. It's interesting that I had no right to be unforgiving. It's interesting that I had no right to be bitter and judgmental. And yet, my personality is lended towards that. It's towards that. Think about a revelatory person that can look into things and know people's weaknesses and things, and then have a sharp tongue about it and be critical. Okay? So I see that. Like, no. Okay, so you start getting delivered from those things that you feel entitled about in your own life, in your own personality. That's happening. That's a move of the Holy Spirit. It's happening. I bet it's happening to you. I bet your secret life that you don't like sharing with people because you know it's ugly in the eyes of the church, but in the eyes of God, it's so important because where are you going to hide? All things are naked and open unto him to whom we have to do. Nothing's hidden from his sight, right? And he's going for it, and you're struggling, and it's a trust issue, and you may have to lay something down that's pretty amazing, like your ego your opinion, your will, your offense, your wound. And here's the amazing thing. The Lord meets you there. I had one of those last night. It was kind of airing my stuff a little bit in the last couple of days. I'm just going this, and whatever. And then I go, we start talking. And I have a revelation again about an issue with my dad. And I haven't thought about it for a long time, to be frank about it. Man, was the transformation powerful. It was powerful. But I had to confess it. I had to admit it, that I was doing it. Right? So I consider that the move of the Spirit of God. Transformation, wholeness, sanctification. Sanctify you wholly to where you're at a place where you don't see anything for the moment. For the moment, okay, sanctified. I mean, I'm sanctified in Christ to begin with, right? To begin with, he gave it to me. Christ is my sanctification, but on an experiential level. Sanctified. That's what I feel. Sanctified. Can't point to anything right now that I know of. It's in the blood. I've been met by the Lord, you know. And it's a great place to be. It's like being born again, you know. The Lord communicated. I listened. It was challenging. I had to act upon what he was saying, just like when I got saved, right? I had to act upon the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I bet we see that in Mass soon. I bet we see all kinds of people breaking before the Lord. It's just more of the same. And getting Christ centrality in their life, maybe for the first time, maybe they're getting saved. You know, precious. Maybe it's an older believer over 40 years that's confessing sin. And maybe it's the next generation coming in. They have all this, you know, value system that I didn't grow up with. You know, their acceptance of sexual sin is a lot more developed in parameters of what is right and wrong. And they're coming in and they're full of this stuff. And they're having encounters by the Lord, and they're coming to saving faith. And some of that is not immediate sanctification. Let's just be real. You know, it's going to be interesting. Like, whoa, you know, you're looking at that person. Do they really get saved? No. Like that, you know. But they're talking about Jesus, right? I think we're in a move of God. I think we can embrace it. I think we can embrace the move of God. You may feel grief and sorrow sometimes. I've been going through cycling through that. Some of that is real intercession, just really picking it up and grieving with the Lord in prayer. Extraordinary amount of times being set apart. I want to really encourage you to slow down. Slow down. Let the Lord speak. Let revelation come. And it may take a little bit. You may need to tune in. If you have a known offense, you know, it's hard to listen to God when you're holding on to offense. Because Jesus died on the cross for all those offenses. Hard to listen to God when you're angry and holding offenses or bitter at God because your life is not going very well. And we've got a lot of that going on. That's why people are running from church to church and blowing up churches and doing all kinds of things. I think we're of a like heart in here. I do. I think we're in the same place. I think it's happening. It's actually quite exciting. Versus the show must go on. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Man, too much light breaking in, people getting exposed, and things shutting down fast. And even now I see it in Hollywood with these personas that people put on, the showmanship, and the light comes on them, and it's this horrible dark stuff that they're hiding in their lives. I believe that's the work of God. I'm so convinced of that going out with Pat in this city today, and the horrible rate of marriage here, and what goes on in families here, marriages in this little town that you would never suspect, you know? You would never suspect. To me, it's like, well, that's a nice little town, you know? But, man, it's got something here that's like a pretty belligerent, right? And so I was driving with Pat today. We went out and got a few things. And thought, man, Lord, you're going to put the light on. And what's here is going to come to light. And it's going to be known. And it's going to rock this city. And it's really going to help the church. But it's going to rock something. And it's starting to happen so much. You know, just about every field you can think of, the light comes on a situation. We can talk about our government. Look at it. You think people are escaping? It's light. It's just showing. And then, of course, let's just lie about it because we're not going to, you know, change. We're just going to tell lies and try to make people believe them. But you could choose any field if you want to. And you can see illumination. Remember, the scripture says that whatever makes manifest is light. And that's what's happening. You want as much illumination as you can possibly get in your life. You want us to be standing in the light as he is in the light, having the blood of Jesus keep you in continual cleansing so you have that continual fellowship with the Lord. That's the state he wants you in. And you may need to try to get there because things are being shown to you that are dark areas that the light's going. But trust the Lord. If he saved you through the power of his blood and justified you, can't he show you the sanctifying power, the delivering power, the transforming power? Yes. He can do it. And he wants to do it. It's written. It is written. So I think the church needs all the illumination we can get. Yes. And our dirty rats and snakes and scorpions, yeah, need to go scurrying. Yes. Right? They need to see, you can't hide anymore. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know what's been happening? I know of two signs that were vision-related signs that the revelation came forth and then a sign followed, and it was for the city. It was God's mind to judge the city and the strongholds of the city that were also affecting the church. I know of two of those that were pretty dramatic here. So the Holy Spirit is pouring out here. And dreams and visions are happening here. A move of God is breaking in here. If we agree with it, it'll start with us individually, but then you'll see the fire kind of burn corporately. So, you know, in a small group tonight, it's okay. If we do what the Lord is asking us to do, if we see that the Holy Spirit is pouring out, revelation is happening, the Lord is calling the church into the light and to repentance, let the Lord deal with you. There may be major readjustments in your life from listening to the Lord and putting the Lord first in your life. You've got to be willing to admit that. You may be told to let something go that you've depended upon for your life, like I had. You may have to let it go. You may have to put Isaac on the altar and trust the Lord with that. It may be some of the most precious things you feel about yourself or your life, and the Lord may ask for it in a good way. I'm not speaking evil. I'm talking the blessing of the Lord. Okay. Yep. These are all things that are true to our lives, true to the scriptures. There are some people that are already getting the breakthroughs, and so they're on the other side. You know, they went early and got it. And they're going to get more, too. I hope you can feel the Holy Spirit moving tonight. Because there is movement. That's what I feel. Movement. Movement. We're not in stagnation. We're moving. It's moving. The Lord is moving. I would like the wind to blow hard, but it's not up to me. If it were up to me, I'd flip the switch every time. Okay. Hard wind. Thunder, trumpets, angels. Yeah. Okay. Father, we just thank you. Your promises. Sure and true, through all our lives since we've been even born again, even before then. You're a faithful witness. Jesus, you didn't change your nature. You've always been the same. You're a faithful witness. You can't deny yourself. You've given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. With transforming glory. And you have the body of Christ here, members individually, Lord, and we have the love of the brethren. We pray now for the church of Paso Robles, because it's all the believers in Christ. And we're sad, Lord, that traditional American Christianity is church division. We're sad. Because that's a bad witness. And in any way that we participated in that, Lord, and empowered that, are we holding offense? Or just asking to heal the breach? Heal the breach, Lord. And the anger that's here. And the immoral spirit of the church that's here. The broken marriages and family and Christians that's here. The spirit of Jezebel that's attacked the church that's been here. And any participation we've had, we want to stand for the body of Christ. We want to stand for that unity of the Spirit, because you've given that unity already. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So I don't need to, you know, compete with my brother, divide with my brother, judge my brother, and all the things that we're used to. We just get to love our brother. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for shaking the church, shaking it. But I think part of that shaking is an awakening. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I also pray for transparency. Lord, that we would be an open book, easily read of men. That there would not be hypocrisy, pretense. That when people see us, it's authentic Christ, not a put-on. And we genuinely love you. And it's okay that we can understand that in loving you, culture may hate us. It's okay. And that we can still be your witness. So thank you, Lord, for transparency. And as you move by your Spirit and we see corporate repentance, Lord, and new believers that lived horrible, awful, immoral, deceitful lives getting saved, Lord, that we'll give them opportunity to grow. And we'll love them as mothers and fathers in the Lord. We'll love your move of the Holy Spirit. We'll embrace it. We'll value and treasure it, Lord, as a very precious thing that we've waited a lot for in our lives. And so we're willing to do it your way, Lord. Your will be done. Your will, Lord, in my life, in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, there's an old crowd here tonight. There's some young people. But I just want to say, you know, there's a real father mothering power that's really happening. So just see that in your life. See that father heart. See the Holy Spirit's capacity of compassion and embracing and the ability for that heart to reach out and effectively, you know, touch other people. Just take a moment and be present. And it'll make a difference. God is so moving. And take a moment to just really be a father or mother in a good way. You know, the relationship, I'm going to care enough for this person that I'm going to value them in Christ. They may not even begin to see that reality for themselves. But I'm going to do it in that moment for them. And I may be in such a non-church setting, you know, and I may be with a strange personality, you know, but there we are. There we are. And it's God. So, Father, we are willing to see the veil taken off the church. We've been hidden for so long that people don't even know what the church is today. But we have the love of God. We have the light that is salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. We have Jesus. We have revelation of Christ. So do a great thing, Father. Awaken the church to the power of the Father heart of God and let the love begin in a real way, Lord. For a person like me that was offended at his own family, his own father, can be so transformed in Christ. Let many of those that are offended at their parents and have gone off into drugs, they were abused, abandoned. Lord, they hate, they're immoral. But you died for them, Jesus. Let them find the church. May the church engage that person. We're praying for that, Lord. And Lord, we're also praying for the darkness that's here. The darkness cannot overpower the light. And we just have an expectation, Lord, that such a move of the Holy Spirit is moving, that the hidden things of darkness are going to come to light here and shake this community, just as you showed in prophetic signs, Lord. Just as you showed in prophetic signs that you would do that. And Lord, I'm praying now for this group tonight for the gift of faith and the power gifts. Lord, we've talked so much about it and have believed that displays of the miraculous into culture could shake a city. And we have stood on that doctrine for 20, 30, 40 years. And I believe that the Holy Spirit gifts are for the body of Christ. And it's time for the superstar mentality to give way to the body of Christ. And we just pray tonight, Father, for the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing as they really do function through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it will become more commonplace to hear in Paso Robles about the works of God. The ones that we always quote and say, well, we'll do greater works. And just put that on paper. But I pray tonight, Father, for the stirring of the power gifts of the Holy Spirit and the tools that we can take out to the community in the power of the Lord, the witness of the Lord. Just like they moved on from the day of Pentecost and met the man at the gate beautiful and shook a city. And so we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ for what the Holy Spirit has already written in the Word of God through the Apostle Paul, that we should desire spiritual gifts. And we want to obey the Lord. And we want to be used by God. And I just say, everybody, Lord, born of your Spirit, has access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want it's ordinary men and women that have no ministry titles, hold no pulpit positions whatsoever, Lord. May the body of Christ manifest the glory of God in this city through signs and wonders. May it be the body of Christ, Father. And may you stir the gifts in us to where the gift of faith has such boldness, Lord, that in the face of impossibility, that gift is manifesting. And it's undeniable that we believe for something that's so humanly impossible, but it was the Spirit of God in us. And we see mighty, mighty acts of God. And Lord, we accept the revival. And whatever you intend to do with it here, Father, we know it's the body of Christ too. It's the body of Christ also. And we receive, Father, the body of Christ, the born-again believers. The whole of the city. The whole of the city. May there be a great awakening. And may the fame of the Lord resound out of Paso Robles. May the fame of the Lord resound out of Paso Robles. We're receiving it. We are receiving it. We are receiving. Just include yourself. You have ears to hear. Just include yourself. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's good enough. Thank you, Father. Pastor Pat, maybe a few other people that are pastors here would like to pray a few things tonight before we're done. Okay. Here's the mic.